This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Sean Dooley, Joy Drive's chief bird nerd.
Sean Dooley, are you? Do you like the heat or do you prefer the cold?
There's something about it that kind of extremes of temperature make me feel alive. Possibly because I'm close to death.
But, you know, I'm not a heat person at all, but I'm just thinking about it. Like, it's pushing us all to our limits today. And we can duck inside, We can turn on the air conditioning, the fan, etc. Birds don't get that choice. So how do they cope when temperatures soar like they have today? What are the real dangers for them?
I know, it's actually, days like today just absolutely terrify me about the outcome for birds, because birds, and particularly Australian birds, have evolved with, like, heat spells, you know, especially the dry country birds, the desert birds. They do remarkably well in hot temperatures, but once you get above 40 degrees, that the mechanisms that keep them cool stop functioning. And unlike us, birds don't sweat. So they don't get that evaporative cooling off the skin. So they have to try and find other ways to dissipate the heat as it comes on. And they're really good at doing it up to about 38, 39 degrees. But once it gets above 40, they really struggle and they can almost literally boil. Oh. And what they, what they'll try and do is you'll see birds panting and they have their beak open because that allows heat to dissipate from the inside of their mouths. You'll see them with their wings out or their feathers ruffled, just trying to get a bit of breeze across their skin. But the best thing possible for birds, obviously they'll seek shade and things, is if they can get their feathers wet, then, and there's any slight breeze, that acts like sweat evaporating off your skin, and it allows the birds to, the temperature on the birds to dissipate. And it can be literally a lifesaver on days like this.
What should we do if we do see a bird panting or holding their wings out? I mean, if they're stressed with the heat, can we do anything there, or are we best to just keep away from them?
Well, it depends. I've been in the BirdLife Australia office today, and it's kind of in a new office complex, and it's quite hermetically sealed. So I've been very calm today and cool. But we've been getting a lot of people calling in asking what to do, and a lot of people have also been saying that the birds are really much more confiding and trusting in people, and basically they don't have the energy to get out of the way. So it's a case-by-case basis, but you don't want to unwittingly disturb the bird and stress it out, because it's going to have to use up energy to get away from you and get hotter. On the other hand, if the bird allows close approach, putting out a simple dish of water, shallow dish preferably, not like a big 44-gallon drum or something, but something a bit shallow, they will come and, if not have an actual drink, actually just wet their feathers to allow them to, the evaporation off their skin will cool them. The other thing that is possible is a bit of a mister. If you can put the sprinkler on or put the hose setting on mist in particular, they actually sometimes will come and just happily get their feathers wet under that. So, you know, a little bit of a spritz for your garden birds is not the worst thing you could be trying to do to help them.
Sean, I've noticed around my area the sound of chicks, you know, being fed. You know that sound as the mother approaches or with the food in their beak. I've noticed that sound, and I was thinking today, I mean, what's happening with the chicks? Are they more vulnerable, or is that a myth? Is it more the older birds that are more vulnerable to the heat?
No, it is definitely the younger the bird, the less the more vulnerable it is, the less likely it is to survive. And at the moment, most of the breeding has finished, and most chicks have fledged or certainly hatched. But I suppose there can still be chicks inside hollow trees and things like that. And usually depending on the tree and the hollow itself, they can be quite well insulated, but again, if it gets really hot and there's no air circulating, that can be disastrous for the chicks inside. And sometimes in these heat waves, you see a lot of chicks just abandon the safety of the nesting hollow. We see this a lot with cockatoos, particularly the black cockatoos. It will get far too hot and stifling for those birds to survive, so they will get out. And that means they're often not quite fledged, not quite ready to fly, so they're very vulnerable on the ground to predators. Like in the wild, it'd be things like goannas, but obviously with so many cats around, that's the other thing you can do for native wildlife, is keep your pets inside on this hot day, because they don't, with all that vulnerability, all those birds really stressed and heat stressed and sluggish in their movements, one of the biggest risks is that they're easy prey to roaming cats or dogs.
Now, let's talk about if we've got an apartment, for example, because not everyone has a garden. If we've got an apartment, we're driving home now, what can we do? Is there anything we can do on our balcony to help the birds if we're, you know, only a few stories up?
Yeah, even just putting out, again, like a dinner plate of water or just some shallow dish on the balcony ledge, I can't guarantee the birds will find it, but they may very well. When I left home this morning, I put out as many dishes as I could find throughout my garden. I'm lucky enough to have a front and back garden, so not just the bird bath, but a couple of other dishes too, hoping that the birds will find it. Because they're going to be looking for the shadiest, coolest parts. And if you can put water nearby, they'll really love you for it.
You're going to get home and your dinner's going to be on the kitchen bench because there's no dishes left.
Exactly, yes.
Now, let's talk, if we've got a garden, Sean Dooley, if we've got a garden, what can we do in terms of making that garden a safe haven on days like today? And I'm not necessarily talking about planting the right species, but, you know, we know 2 days' time it's going to be mid-40 degrees. Okay, let's look after the birds. Apart from a shallow dish of water, is there anything else we can do? Can we create shade out of something?
Yeah, well, that's another option. If you have particularly like a lawn area or something that's quite exposed, if you can sort of MacGyver up a sort of shade sail to basically just keep a bit of the intensity of the sun off the ground, that could help birds. Another thing that might be helpful is if you have fruit trees and you've got them netted, it's really a good idea in these sort of heat waves to remove the netting, particularly if you don't know if it's wildlife safe. If one of the problems is that the birds might be really dead keen to get some sort of shade, some sort of liquid from the fruit, and they will be desperate to get into the fruit trees, and they can get tangled up and in all sorts of strife. And I know we really want to protect our prime fruit, but on days like these, I think we all should muck in together and think of the animals that can't get out of harm's way and can't turn on the air conditioning, and be a little bit more generous than you perhaps would like to be normally with that, because entanglement in fruit nets can be a problem, particularly on days like this. If the netting itself, a lot of fruit nets that are sold, anti-bird nets, they're actually really dangerous because birds and other animals can get entangled in them, because the weave isn't small enough. So it means that they can get beaks or legs or things stuck in there and then not be able to get out.
Firstly, we're chatting with Sean Dooley from BirdLife Australia about how birds cope in extreme heat. Sean, what are the most common mistakes that well-meaning people make when trying to help birds in extreme heat?
I think the most common is people think, they might need extra food. That's probably the last thing on their mind. They're looking for shade, they're looking for cool, they're looking for water. The other thing is, if you do put water out in a shallow dish, as I've recommended, and it's better shallow so that in case a bird, particularly small birds, fall in their eagerness to cool down, that they don't end up drowning. But if you do have a shallow bowl or something out and it's sitting in the middle of the sun, just go out and check it and make sure that it's not too hot, because, you know, the water can really heat up to, you know, almost like an onsen level of temperature, and that can actually scald the birds or, you know, really not help them at all.
Now, like, let's say we fill up a fish tank with tap water. I mean, we've got to worry about the chlorine, etc. Do we have to? Should we be worrying about anything like that, or just fill up a dish, put it out, and let them enjoy it?
I think, the risk of like chlorine or anything else, it will evaporate pretty quickly on a day like this. And any risk of, you know, not being pure 100% natural water is well offset by the fact that they just really need to cool down.
Sean, now, before we let you go, are these extreme heat events that we're experiencing, are they changing bird behaviour long term, or are we seeing impacts that last beyond, you know, just one hot day?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like these, you know, when you get temperature records set and set far more frequently than they ever were, that there's something driving that, and we, you know, we can't pretend that it's not climate change that's making these events more frequent and more severe. And our big fear as bird lovers and researchers is that the birds and other wildlife aren't able to adapt quickly enough to these changes. But what we are seeing, there's interesting things, like birds are sort of moving migration timing or migration routes and things like that. And I just saw something this morning, I haven't had a chance to read into it, but apparently the Adelie penguins on one of the Antarctic colonies have actually shifted their breeding season by 2 weeks because of the change in the warming down there. They might not get 43 degree days, but they get days or periods where the pack ice that these birds rely on melts too quickly. And apparently at least one or two of those colonies of penguins are actually starting to nest, I think it's earlier, because they're kind of clocking to the fact that the ice they depend on is melting too quickly for their chicks to have fully fledged. So birds and other animals are pretty adaptive, but you know, the pace of the change that we're inflicting upon the world is unfortunately just outpacing the adaptive evolutionary abilities of many of our animals.
Sean, hopefully a lot more of us will get home tonight, put out a shallow dish for the birds. Great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you. That was Sean Dooley, National Public Affairs Manager at BirdLife Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.